Readings of the Spirit from the Island of Catalina. The glory of grace is now upon this earth. It has always been here to bless you if you will let it. You have the choice. If you'll stand in the kingdom of God, as the Son of God, grace, in its infinite variety, will function in and as your being and your entire experience. You can recognize grace by the fruitage, for these are the signs that you are moving on the path of truth. Many of you have written about experiences of grace. You have told me about safety, about health, about domestic relations, about employment opportunities, and some have told me things of a supernatural nature. Some have told me of miracles that could not happen except through the expression of grace in their lives. And one thing seems predominant in all these experiences of grace, and that is the unexpected nature of grace. If you look for it in one direction, it comes in another. If you try to outline it, it fools you every time. You may look for supply because you think it should come a certain way, but it doesn't come. And when you relax and say, come any way you want, and don't even come as supply, grace will take you up, perhaps uproot you from where you are, and it will place you where that which you need is given unto you. My grace is thy sufficiency in all things. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have had these expressions of grace coming to us through Scripture all of our lives. And now, we are finding that through our fidelity to the Word of God, the mountains are moving away. Grace is going before us to smooth out every path. And if we have the tenacity, the trust, the will, the confidence, the determination to live in the Father's Word, we will see the three heavens of grace open up. The fruits of grace are more than we can imagine. At first we see them as joy, peace, harmony, supply, prosperity. These are the obvious forms of grace. We notice them then in our increased confidence. We have less doubt, less anxiety, less fear. We begin to no longer waste energy. Life becomes more effortless, more based on knowing the Father is present, doing the Father's charm. And we begin to feel a great rightness of things, a great synchronization. Everything seems to fall into place. Perhaps that's part of the quickening process. We find a new level that we might even call the enchanted level. An amazing level because there seems to be a living force living itself something in the nature of I live yet not I, Christ liveth my life. We may not recognize that force as the Christ force, but we feel it as a strong, mysterious intelligence, doing things on a vaster level than any human brain could do. It's like looking at a vast terrain, and all the hills and slopes and valleys are forming one continuous, beautiful pattern. These all come to us through grace in the invisible, in a vastness that we cannot conceive with our human minds. There is a capacity in grace that defies all human reasoning. It really passeth understanding. Beyond normal health, beyond normal supply, beyond normal joy, beyond normal happiness, it is the presence of a force at once perfect and silent and yet ever present, doing something marvelous to behold. And then suddenly you realize what that force is. Suddenly something in you leaps alive with the understanding that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of grace is here. The kingdom of love is here. This is truly holy ground. It no longer is mysterious to us that grace could come to Mary as a virgin child, or that grace could come to Paul as this invisible force living his life, or to John as the sunshine of infinite love. We too begin to suspect that there is this force in our lives now coming forth just as blossoms in bud. And we feel that the Father within doeth the works. When grace becomes this real to you, this present to you, this now to you, you have been given a sign that you are on your way to the real transition. Before you can think of something that should be done, this mysterious force seems to do it, and do it perfectly. Appearances no longer bother you. Error loses its grip upon you. You have a greater degree of patience. Something is lifting it higher and higher in consciousness, so that you no longer bother even to deny error. It is making less and less impression upon you. And there comes a moment, perhaps, when, like Jesus, unaware of the sickness of the woman who touches the hem of his robe, he merely feels the virtue being taken from him. Now, this is going to become a more permanent level, a level in which you expect grace. You know that grace is. It's no longer when will grace come or what will grace do, but rather it's a joy simply to behold the infinite variety through which grace appears in your life. You are now beyond the need for statements of truth. Now, many persons in our work are being blessed by this level of grace, and it is beautiful to behold. But there is also another contingent who suddenly decide, well, that's marvelous, now we have nothing more to do. And so they stop and they become satisfied. They think they have attained all that life can offer. The sad truth is that they're really still asleep in the dream of matter. They have traveled the path of grace, but only up to the Red Sea. For them, the waters do not part, and they cannot pass over, because they have stopped weaving their mystical robe. And so they're not reborn of the Spirit, because they have become too immersed in the human comforts of grace. And that is a trap that you and I must very carefully avoid. We are not here to skim the cream off the top and then, to our sorrow, discover that the milk has turned sour. Back in Genesis, we were warned about this complacency when grace enters our life. Spirit always knows precisely what we need. When you read that Noah had three sons, you were being told that you too had to have three sons. The three sons that Noah begat are the key to the infinite nature of grace in Christ's consciousness. And whoever learns to beget three sons walks free in the eternal kingdom of reality. The three sons of Noah are the three heavens that are now present, invisibly, waiting for you and I to walk through them. These three heavens represent the portion of your journey which is still unfinished. The first heaven is the first sun, the second heaven, the second sun, the third heaven, the third sun. And each sun is your soul. Your soul is the first heaven. And your soul is the second heaven. And your soul is the third heaven. Your soul enters the second heaven of spirit, and then becomes a spiritual soul, and then it enters the third heaven and becomes the Christ or super soul, consciously one with God. Now these are the three heavenly kingdoms, and that plus the four earthly kingdoms comprise the 7 days of Genesis, which must be completed totally in your consciousness. All grace on earth flows from the three heavens, the three sons of Noah. And this is the level of grace that you attain if you seek eternal life. You cannot stop with the first heaven, for the degree of grace that you attain depends on which heavens you touch. If you remember the parable of the sower, Christ explained that among those who hear and understand the word, some bring forth fruit, an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. These are the three heavens. If you touch the third heaven, you bring forth fruit a hundredfold, which means transition. Always, when the Bible speaks of grace, it is telling you that there are three levels that are to be attained. There is no such thing as a little bit of grace. Grace means attaining the three infinite levels of heaven. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the same as saying that when Noah walked with God and begat three sons, he was being fed by the three heavens of grace. When the dove of spirit descends on Jesus Christ or on you. That is a symbol that infinite grace has been realized. When John says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, he too is revealing that there are three heavens present, and they represent the fullness of grace coming forth in the visible form that we call Jesus Christ. If you will think a moment, you will notice that Christ repeatedly stresses that it is our function to awaken to the three heavens of grace. And he does it in a most subtle way. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And again, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Why three times? The three sons of Noah must be begotten. You must enter not only the first heaven and the second, but the third as well. In other words, you must open the door for the fullness of grace to express. Now, this is a mystical statement that unless you awaken to all three heavens, you remain in the dream of a human lifespan with repeated reincarnation. There is another interesting repetition of the idea of three heavens, but you've probably never thought about it this way. You'll find it in Matthew. It's in the 26th chapter. You remember when the disciples are asleep and he berates them for not watching. Just look at this for a moment. It starts at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Now that's his first prayer. O my Father, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The great expression that only divine will is acceptable unto Christ. But look, he went away again the second time and prayed. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Why did he pray the third time? It was a mystical teaching that the three levels of grace are the real miracle worker. It was a mystical teaching that present wherever you are, always present, are three heavens of grace waiting to bless you. He was literally walking where we saw the world, but he was walking here in the kingdom of heaven, demonstrating that here is the kingdom of heaven. The world has been seeking the grace of God, waiting for the grace of God, praying for the grace of God, but not knowing that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Grace is now. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Why 3 days? Because whoever can accept and open up to the 3 levels of heavenly grace will know God aright, which is life eternal. Do you see the point? The 3 levels of heaven are always here to reestablish that self which seems to be dying. It cannot be destroyed. In 3 days, in 3 heavenly levels, I will raise it up again. When you have found the 3 levels of grace, you have found your indestructible body of soul. And then one of the most unknown revelations of the New Testament. We think of the ministry of Jesus Christ as 3 years. So it was. In order that he could reveal 3 heavens. Now on earth, each year, if you study closely, you will discover that each year he revealed another heaven. And that is why the so-called miracles increased in intensity. Actually, you might call the New Testament itself the gospel of grace, because every word is singing the glory of divine grace, present, alive, on earth now. By grace, Mary brings forth the child. Fear not, Mary, says the angel, for thou hast found favor with God. And then it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Repeatedly, continuously, we learn that the 3 heavens of grace are on earth always present. And then at the age of 12, this child of grace confuses and confounds the elders of the temple. Again, we ask ourselves, why? And the answer is very important and very startling. Because this was not a 12-year-old child. This was the 3 heavens of grace expressing. This was the 7 days of Genesis all in one appearance coming through. And the real answer to the nature of this 12-year-old child is so vital that we must really pause here a moment. We must abide. And we must witness the event with renewed spiritual vision. Ask yourself, can time change the identity of God? Can time change the identity of Christ? Can we agree then that Christ is the same today, tomorrow, and forever? Can Christ ever be less than 100% Christ? Then why was this child 12 years old? Why not 11? Why not 13? And we can begin to see that 12 had a meaning. 12 is the symbol of infinity. 12 was signifying that infinity, the fullness of the Godhead, was expressing its infinite grace as infinite Christ wisdom in that temple in Jerusalem. Right here on earth, infinite wisdom was expressing. Right here on earth, infinity was expressing where world vision was seeing a 12-year-old boy. He said it later. He could have said it then, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father." Because wherever you see Christ, you are seeing the Father. And remember, the Father is always in the Father's kingdom. So when you are seeing Christ in the form that it seems to you to be a 12-year-old boy, you are looking in the kingdom of God on earth. In Luke's record of this very strange event, there's another important clue to the identity of the so-called 12-year-old boy. We're told that his parents left Jerusalem after the Passover feast, and they journeyed a full day before they even discovered that he was missing. So they hurried back to Jerusalem, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. You see the clue, the mystical clue dropped in there? After 3 days. 3 days being the symbol indicating that this was indeed the living Christ, not a 12-year-old boy. But here's the most crucial of all. And I say crucial because your own realization of divine sonship rests on your capacity to see what the world has not been able to see. You, too, must face the fact that it was not a 12-year-old boy there who astonished the learned doctors of the temple. That was their false idea. That was not a child prodigy. That was not a precocious lad. They were being instructed by Christ, and they didn't know it. Your next realization must now tell you that if that was Christ, then the human form of a 12-year-old boy was not there. Christ was not in the physical body of that 12-year-old boy. And no 12-year-old boy was there. Christ does not live in a human body. This was a revelation that Christ is invisible. Human vision cannot see Christ. Or to phrase it another way, mankind is blind to Christ. This was the revelation of human error, that all material sense is under a universal error, which is blind to Christ. Now, when that same invisible Christ, at one time, seen by human eyes as a 12-year-old boy, later appears to these same human eyes as a 30-year-old physical form called Jesus, nothing has really changed. Man is still unable to see Christ, whether he's 12-year-old or 30. And so the healings began. The deaf heard, the blind saw, and the cripples walked. The man Jesus was hailed as a miracle worker, just as the boy had been hailed as a child prodigy. But now a new note had been introduced. The invisible Christ was revealing that it was not confined to Jesus. The deaf man was not there. Christ was there. The blind man was not there. The cripple was not there. Just as only the invisible Christ stood where human eyes saw the 12-year-old Jesus, so only the invisible Christ stood where limited human vision incorrectly saw a blind man, a deaf man, and a cripple. But of course, the world was unaware of it. Repeatedly, this was a revelation that the invisible Christ is everywhere. It was the revelation of the universal Christ, that behind every human form, behind every physical form, there is an identity standing there which is not visible to human eyes, the universal Christ. While mankind has been suffering for centuries, fearing, dying, struggling to find answers to all the burning questions about life, about survival, about ways and means to protect against radioactivity and nuclear fallout, overpopulation, poverty, famine, and you name it. While we've had international and domestic problems, the one infinite life force is standing behind this world saying, "Come unto me. I will give thee rest." And this same life force today is equally unknown to the people of our world as it was to the people of yesterday. The infinite life force, the universal Christ, is the solution to every human problem. It is ever present. It is ever ready to shower us with the three heavens of grace. And any individual can open up to these three levels if that individual treasures truth above all, believes that the words and deeds of Christ are true, and is willing to seek this kingdom of universal Christ right where he stands. I'd like to look at Matthew for a moment, the 18th chapter. It is a statement to you of the manner in which you open yourself to grace. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let us see that spiritually. In spiritual terminology, a little child is a young soul of the fifth world, which is the same as the first heaven. You remember we said the three sons of Noah are your three souls, one for each heaven. Actually, they are one soul, but at three different levels. Little child that Christ is speaking of in this parable is your soul of the first heaven. And when it is fed by spirit from the second heaven, it grows, it expands, it matures. And finally, it enters what is called the bridal chamber. You see, your soul is female. Your spirit is male. Your soul is your state of awareness. Your spirit is your substance. At the moment, in humanhood, awareness and substance are separate. But when your female soul and your male spirit are united, then your awareness and your substance are united in such a remarkable way that you become consciously one with all life. And this incubates the Christ seed within you, the Christ seed within the kingdom of God within you, and opens the doorway to the third heaven of infinite grace. I would like to try with you to move now into a new dimension of grace. Not a dimension of grace that we would call a physical endowment of some kind on this earth, like more supply or better health, but rather grace of a more invisible nature. Because we know that these are the added things that are automatic if we are able to walk in the three heavens. And so in this meditation, when you close your eyes, you are merely a state of awareness, separate from your substance, unless you have already attained that awareness in which substance and awareness are one and the same. We are now seeking our source. In other words, your soul, which is female, is seeking the male spirit of itself. This is what you've been doing for many, many lifespans. Now you're doing it consciously. Awareness is seeking substance. Now, just as before, we looked at the 12-year-old physical form of a boy called Jesus and learned that it is not there. All that was there was the universal Christ. Turn your attention to your own physical form and realize that it is not here. There was no 12-year-old boy in the temple of Jerusalem. There is no man or woman sitting in a chair in your room. There is no person there. There was no person there an hour ago, and there will be no person there 1 hour from now. There never will be a person in your room. Christ is there. Eliminate your body. Christ is there. In the absence of you, you will know that Christ is there. Accept the invisible Christ where you have thought you stood. You should be feeling another dimension of yourself. A strange, wonderful, exciting dimension that you know is opening a new doorway to the infinite nature of your own being. Perhaps by now you have touched the first heaven. Perhaps by now you have been releasing Christ's power. Now know again that this invisible Christ you are accepting does not live in your physical form. It lives in no physical form. It is free, unencumbered, and present, and it is you. You are that Christ. You are the Christ now. You do not live and never have lived and never will live in a physical form. Please rest in that awareness, in that acceptance, and overcome every doubt that your mind wants to put up. You can never live in a physical form, for you are the Christ. Perhaps you are opening the way now to the second heaven of grace. Be at peace. Relax. Feel the ease and effortlessness of knowing I am the invisible Christ which does not live in form. Gently now expand your awareness. Really free your soul. Accept Christ as the universal self. Expand to the acceptance of Christ universal. Christ, one infinite being. and remain at peace. Now we have been building towards something that you must learn to do every day of your life. Christ being the universal self, Christ is where every person appears to be. Your name, your identity is Christ. Christ, universal. You are the universal Christ. Where every form in this world appears to be, the universal Christ is. Now, can you capture this? You are the infinite, the universal Christ, invisibly where every form in this world appears to be. No matter who appears or what appears, where it appears, the invisible Christ is there. You are that invisible Christ. Daily, make this your sacred responsibility to establish it every day. Every single day. Establish it. It is the doorway to the three heavens of grace. When you accept that I am the universal Christ, then you are beyond the senses, beyond the limitations of time, the limitations of matter, the limitations of reason, the limitations of the world. Heaven, in its full glory, will pour through your acceptance of your identity as universal Christ. Your awareness becomes aware that it is the substance of life. And your substance suddenly becomes self-aware. Awareness discovers itself to be divine substance. Substance discovers itself to be omniscient. This is the mystical union. This is conscious union. When it comes as a realization that awareness and substance are one, you are in conscious union with God. This is what your soul has been seeking. Whether you knew it consciously or not. The invisible marriage, the infinite marriage. For this is the seamless robe of Christ, woven from the top, from the seventh down to the first day, the fullness of being. As this realization comes upon you through daily practice, you will awaken to sonship. All right? Now then, let's see if we can sum this up at the moment. Grace is here. Grace is omnipresent. Grace is wherever Christ is. As you identify as the living, omnipresent Christ, through daily practice and contemplative and deep prayerful meditation, acceptance of infinity, infinite Christ as self, you'll develop the capacity to look past all form. And in accepting universal Christ as self, the law of grace, which is the law of the universal Christ, comes into effect. Always manifesting as your sufficiency. If you are faithful to identity, you are faithful to God. And the three sons of Noah are begotten in your consciousness. Now I think we can spend a little time trying to come to grips with ourselves, asking ourselves how we are blocking grace from flowing into our lives. You might call it a spiritual scorecard. And I think hitting the list would be one question. Are you faithful to God? The answer might be shocking. For example, do you know God aright? You might say, yes, I think I know God aright. Well, if you know God aright, you would have to be Christ, because only the Son of God knows God aright. And if you are not Christ, you do not know God aright. And if you do not know God aright, how can you be faithful to God? So we can't be satisfied with any shallow, casual answers. We're coming to grips with truth right now. The question is, are you faithful to God? And so I must ask you straight out, do you have a physical body? Remember, only Christ can know God. Only Christ is faithful to God. Do you have a physical body? If you have, you are unfaithful to God. The Christ body is spirit. The whole lesson of the infinite way has been the incorporeality of man. And we have pointedly taught you that the so-called body of atoms has no existence. You must live as a permanent body, not a body that dies, in order to be faithful to God. So if that's a weakness in your armor of light, do something about it. Now these aren't simple questions. And they're not letting you off the hook easily either. I want to ask you now, do your children have physical bodies? Do your friends have physical bodies? And if your answer is yes, they do, you must make a correction. No, they don't. Because they think they do doesn't mean they do. The question is, what do you think they have? We know what they think. do you think they have physical bodies? If you think your child has a physical body, you're malpracticing that child. If you think your child has a physical body, that child is not going to be about that child's father's business. That child is asleep. If we are in physical bodies, we are dying creatures. And so, if you have been caught unawares and have been accepting that your child or children have physical bodies, you must unsee, just as you unsee the physical body of a 12-year-old boy named Jesus. Who is there where that physical body of a child seems to be? Universal Christ. Who are you? Who is that child, really? Universal Christ. Universal Christ is your child. Universal Christ is you. One and the same. When you come into that consciousness, you will find you are being faithful to God. I can see this is going to require a great deal of meditation and slow reflection on our parts. So let's terminate this first half with a meditation on the fact that I, as Universal Christ, do not have a physical body. My children and friends, as Universal Christ, do not have physical bodies. All that is present is Universal Christ, which I am. No matter what forms appear, Universal Christ I am stands where my friends appear, where my children appear, where my parents appear, where my form appears. This is the first law of fidelity to God. A statement about it is not enough. It must register in my soul. I'm sure you could use a little breather right now, so we'll pause. We'll be back in a few moments.